Lashana Tova, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who will be sharing in a moment. But first, bow your heads and join me in our opening prayer. Abba, Father, we exalt you with the highest of praise and honor. You are King of Kings and Lord over all. Continue to watch over your people in these last days and guide all our actions by your Holy Spirit. We pray for the victims of the hurricanes and also Sunday's mass shooting. May these events bring them closer to you, and may the lost seek you as their only Savior, as we also ask that you never stop pulling on the heartstrings of our own unsaved loved ones. We ask that your healing touch on any ailing listeners tonight and those requests recently given to us. We pray for the ministry's finances, and may your face shine upon your bride as we push through our own personal flaws. Bless tonight's study, and may you alone be glorified in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my dear. And we are halfway through the fall feast with Yom Kippur last Saturday, and the Feast of Tabernacles beginning this Thursday for 8 days. And as you might expect, it is the topic of tonight and next week's study.
Yeah, this is my favorite. There are so many gold nuggets surrounding this feast.
Boy, is that an understatement. And we can assure our listeners they will be blessed tonight.
Yeah, you sure? You want to keep some notes tonight for sure.
That's right. And let's remind our listeners you can re-listen to this broadcast later this week on shofarministries.net. where all our programs are archived for your added learning.
Yeah, thank you, Lou. It's also nice because you can pause it and replay it.
Yes. You know, someone once said it was really great because they could better chew all that meat.
Yeah, chew away. Good point.
Last Saturday on Yom Kippur was also the last day of Teshuvah, Israel's yearly season, 40-day season of intense repentance.
Actually, Yom Kippur is their most holiest day of the year.
It is. And according to Jewish thought, it's a judgment day to either be included in or blotted out of the Book of Life. And that was our covered topic last week and is archived on our webpage. But let me repeat. We have concluded through our studies that Jesus returns to earth with us on a Yom Kippur. Then he has a few days of judgment, you know, between the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. And then kicks off the Feast of Tabernacles on his earthly birthday with the wedding supper as he ushers in his new messianic kingdom.
Yeah, you also wanted to comment, I think, on Joel 2 last week, but we ran out of time.
That's right. Because Joel 2, verse 15 through 17, uses Yom Kippur terminology, which gives us major end-of-day clues. This is why I always say how beneficial it is to have even a little Hebraic roots knowledge, as in their phrases and their idiomatic terms and expressions, because it really does help to connect those dots when it comes to understanding eschatology.
Yeah, you know, it's too easy to misinterpret the scriptures without some basic knowledge.
It really is. And we are certainly seeing that in these days, the latest being Revelation 12 thing. But again, you can listen to that past program as well. And that was dated June 20th, okay? So let's go to Joel. He is a Joel, though.
Yeah, it says, yes, he is.
Joel 2, verse 15.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly.
Now, there's only one feast that God calls for a complete fast, and it's Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. And as well, it is the only solemn feast. So clearly, he's setting the stage for the next verse, which is why contextual reading is so very important, and that's in verse 16.
Okay, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, or hadar, and the bride from her huppah.
That's right. Isaiah 26:20 also confirms that we, the bride and the groom, are in the hadar which is Hebrew for a wedding chamber, until the indignation is over. And, as stated in Joel, would be on a solemn fast day, which therefore is on a Yom Kippur. And, according to Revelation 19, Jesus returns to earth along with us, now called his wife, in verse 7. And in Matthew 24:31, when the great trump sounds, which is an idiom for Yom Kippur. And then continuing in Joel 2, verse 17, we see even more confirmation that it's a Yom Kippur by the clues Scripture uses. Can you read that, dear?
Verse 17, I believe it is. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This was the common practice on their most solemn day of the year, and only on the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, to weep between the porch and the altar.
And why is that?
Well, it was always in the outer temple, and it was because it was the last day of Teshuvah, their 40 days of repentance, so as not to be taken out of the Book of Life. Yeah, that's kind of bad. Kind of big. So to us, all these clues confirms that the second coming, when we return with Jesus after our wedding and honeymoon in heaven, at the end of the tribulation, will be on a Yom Kippur. And that will fulfill his appointment for that feast. And remember, whatever day the tribulation ends, which would be on the Hebrew calendar Tishri 10, is also the day it will begin, 7 biblical years earlier.
Yeah, because, you know, the Hebrew calendar is lunar.
That's right. And besides all that, Revelation is pretty plain, you know, that the first half is 1,260 days, and the last half is as well, totaling 2,520 days, which equals exactly 7 biblical years.
But we must move on and talk about tabernacles. But first, anything in the news that may be imperative to Bible prophecy?
Well, always, it seems, lately.
Yeah, it does.
And this program just isn't long enough to do it all. But let me say a few things. Evil, of course, is waxing worse and worse. The latest was that horrific shooting Sunday in Las Vegas. Scores of people killed and injured. It's very demonic.
And no doubt about that.
But to me and many others, it just doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah, you know, there's too many answers, questions still yet to be answered.
Right. It's just not adding up. But we'll talk more about that next week after more information becomes available. And many people are still suffering from the hurricanes, especially still in Puerto Rico.
And continue to watch Israel.
That's right. We spoke on that last week, for they are still dealing with Iran's proxy armies that are inching their way closer to the border between the Golan Heights and Israel. And let me just say this. As long as ISIS was fighting Assad's army, Israel could soften any aggressiveness because their enemy was fighting their other enemy. But since Russia has entered the war, and ISIS is now basically defeated, Israel once again is heightening its awareness that ultimately Iran wants Israel's elimination. So they are observing the situation closely.
Yes, they are. And we read last week that, you know, and this is a good thing, the U.S. now has a permanent military base in Israel.
They do, and it's open for business, so to speak.
Yes, it is.
But Israel will just not tolerate its enemies coming too close. And, you know, they did recently bomb that munitions base near Damascus. And besides Psalm 83, we think of Isaiah 17 that says, Damascus will become a heap of ruins. And when that happens, you can be pretty sure the rapture's not far away, likely the following fall season, especially if the Treaty of Daniel 9:27 looks feasible, which, by the way, will not just be with the United States. In fact, actually, it is more likely to be with Rome, which they have been putting together for quite some time. It's actually a revamping of what is named the Fundamental Agreement of 1993. So it goes way back. But the main intention is to make Jerusalem an international city with the Pope ruling over it. And that's also for another night.
Another week. The Pope. All right. All right. Now, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering. It really helps with our expenses and to keep us on air are much needed right now and always greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional letters are archived for your added learning. And as we do every first Friday of the month, Shofar Assembly is meeting at 7 p.m. at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio. A timely teaching and a chance for your particular end-time questions to be answered.
That's right. So come on out. We'd love to see you.
Okay, let's talk about one of my favorite. It's the seventh appointment of God called the Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23:34-44.
Okay, so we have covered Teshuvah, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur over the last few weeks, and now this Thursday, begins the happiest of all the feasts, the Season of Joy, which is Jesus' real birthday, and I'm pretty convinced of that.
Yeah, you know, you're ordered to be happy. You know,
yes.
It's hard not to realize that.
They do tell you that. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to realize, especially if you take a closer look at Scripture. It conveys that John the Baptist was conceived at Pentecost. Therefore, born at Passover, and according to Luke 2:26-36, he was 6 months older than Jesus, because Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary visited her to tell her about her own pregnancy with Jesus. So, 6 months from John the Baptist's birth at Passover is the Feast of Tabernacles. Exactly.
Yep. Plus, there's another clue that John the Baptist was born at Passover.
Well, there's another clue. That's right. In fact, that clue is in Luke 1. Where Scripture says that while Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's father, was serving in the temple, you remember he was told he would have his first son? Well, Luke also made sure in verse 5 that we knew Zechariah was of the temple's rotating course of Abijah. Now, that might not seem important to you, but it really is, because according to 2 Chronicles 24, that means he served in the temple during the eighth week on the religious calendar.
That is the week of Pentecost.
It is. And now we can see that, well, some people call it a coincidence, but I don't. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. And, of course, Pentecost is associated with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So it makes total sense.
Now, how do we know Elizabeth immediately conceived?
Well, because in Luke 1:24 it says so. Yes, in English it says after those days. But in Greek it says metatata, which is a Hebrew expression meaning immediately. And by the way, all this information is also written on our webpage under the festivals teaching.
Goes to show you how everything in God's word is there for a reason.
Everything.
Yes,
amazingly so.
Uh-huh.
But we must study to show thyself approved, because important facts are often missed by casual reading. Anyhow, moving on. Satan, who we know corrupts the truth, decided to infiltrate the church. So by the 4th century, Emperor Constantine, to keep the pagans satisfied, incorporated paganism into Christianity by renaming their pagan holidays with Christian holiday names, who, except for the true believers, by this time were accepting paganism anyhow, as noted in the Church of Pergamos in Revelation 2. These traditions stuck, and we still observe those dates today as an Easter and most obvious Christmas.
And the anagram of Santa is Satan.
Yes, it is. I bet he planned that.
No. December 25th is actually the festival of Saturnalia.
Yes, for the deity of the Roman god Saturn. And just like tabernacles last for a week, probably where they get the song, The 7 Days of Christmas. However, actually, tabernacles does add an extra day of a Sabbath rest. So it really is 8 days, and that's very significant because Jesus' number is 8, which means eternity, as the number is never ending. And on the 8th day after his birth, on the 1st day of Tabernacles, Jesus, as all baby boys, was circumcised, which is a picture of his new blood covenant. Remember in Abraham's day back in Genesis 17, God told him and all his male descendants to be circumcised as a blood covenant between him and God. Well, the circumcision of Jesus was the sign of the new covenant for all his future believers. Anyone who wanted to be could be included in this covenant. So, we know that Ishmael, too, the father of the Arabs, was circumcised, so he can be included as well if they want to, through faith, serve the real God. And in fact, today many Arabs and Muslims are converting. Many are having vivid dreams of Jesus, and the Jews are having them as well. Many conversions are actually happening all over the world, praise Jesus. But back to Christmas. It's not so much what day he was born, but rather that he was born. And every day is Christmas if he is in your heart. So don't get hung up on the dates. But with that said, I think it is pleasing to God if we just recognize Tabernacles as his birthday and share this gold nugget to as many as will listen. And that he was born in a barn-like lean-to called a booth or a sukkah, which is the Hebrew word. Now in Leviticus 23:40, God tells them to make these booths every year at this time out of branches and leaves so they could see the stars through the roof at night and to stay in the sukkah for 7 days to memorialize how God took care of them in the wilderness for 40 years. God did say in Genesis 1:14 that the sun, moon, and stars were also for signs. So maybe the wise men, if in a sukkah during this feast, already in Jerusalem, as Scripture commanded, could have easily seen the star in the east. You know, all Jews were supposed to go to Jerusalem. Now, because, by the way, they were not astrologers from the Orient, as some have said, but rather they're very wise Jewish sages from the east of Jerusalem. And yes, Babylon is east of Jerusalem. But there were still some Hebrew descendants that decided to remain clear back from the captivity. And we know this because Peter greets them in 1 Peter 5:14. Another clue. So anyway, the wise sages had come to Jerusalem as commanded for the Feast of Tabernacles, saw the star in the east as recorded in Matthew 2, and also remember that God had prophesied this particular star centuries before in Numbers 24:17. So they were always looking. And just so happens that Jesus will come from the east when he returns in Revelation 19 as well. Just another gold tidbit. So Luke 2 states that Jesus was placed in a manger. Well, the Greek word for that is phatne, and it's a feeding trough. So obviously, it could at other times of the year also be a place where animals could stay, especially if built to be a more permanent structure, as we read in Genesis 33:17. Let me read that for you. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built himself a house, and made booths, Hebrew word is Succoth, for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. In John 1:14, he also gives us a clue, huge clue. When he said that the word became flesh to tabernacle, the Greek word is skenos, it means tabernacle, amongst us. Again, another hint that he was born in this happy season of joy, which the angel also stated, giving us still another clue. And it is a little known fact that shepherds don't have their flock out at night in December. And let's not forget the swaddling cloths that he was wrapped in, recorded for our knowledge in Luke 2:7. Because another custom is that every year on the first day of Tabernacles, Tishri 15, the priests would bring their white linen undergarments and exchange them for new ones. Then the worn linens would be tightly wrapped to be used for the wicks in the 75-foot tall candles that were lit every sundown during this week. And for that reason is also called the Feast of Lights. So, he was born on the greater Feast of Lights, and when you count back 280 days, you come to the eighth day, Hanukkah, when he would have been incarnated into Mary by the Holy Spirit on the lesser Feast of Lights. So, no wonder he's called the Light of the World. Anyway, God is so precise. It's absolutely amazing. So, this white linen would be in abundance, but only during this time. And they were called the swaddling cloths because they swathed the priests under their outer garments. It was during the lighting of these humongous candles. Now, Jesus, a grown man, in John 8, where he said to the Pharisees that he was the light of the world. So a very opportune time when he was, which by the way, he was very good at picking just the right time. But actually, it was already set up from long ago. And that I can definitely tell you. So, this Thursday at sundown is the real Christmas Eve 2017, which begins the Feast of Tabernacles. When you connect all the little puzzle pieces, it really is pretty easy to see the bigger picture and to realize just how precise God's plan is. A real faith builder, it really is. Remember, spiritually, we have all the feasts fulfilled in our hearts. Because of Yeshua, we have the kingdom of God dwelling inside of us for those that want him. Our bodies are just a temporary dwelling place, a tabernacle or a spiritual sukkah for Christ. And he will literally return and set up his kingdom on earth, ushered in with the Feast of Tabernacles. And believe me, I've been in Israel during this feast, and let me tell you, it is spectacular. So how much more elaborate when he physically is here for it? We're going to do a lot more of this next week. Got to run, but do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Boy, you better. If not, do it right away. I'll leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122:6. Don't forget to pray for your president as well. These are tough times. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.